This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Alive and kicking.
With Claire McKenna.
On News Talk.
Now, I was at Borbia Bloom in the Phoenix Park in Dublin last weekend. I'm sure many of you were there too. I hadn't been for years because we're usually away for the bank holiday weekend in June, but Mars Pharmacy hosted the first ever wellness village at the festival, and I was there to give a talk, lead some breathwork and host some panel talks on everything from gut health to men's health, hormonal health and skin and hair health, and I absolutely loved it. I also got to visit some of the amazing show gardens, and here's how I got on.
Robert Moore is my name. I designed the garden for the Marie Keating Foundation called Empowering at Every Step for Bloom 26.
Lovely. And did the idea for what you ended up designing come immediately, or how did the whole process work?
I guess they would have a brief in what they were trying to deliver. They've been in bloom for 10 years, so I thought it might be nice to kind of sum up maybe 10 years of their time in here and use some of the stuff. I did a garden for them in 23 called Catching Cancer Early, and they've had subsequent campaigns. So we tried to kind of stitch in all of those things within the design, but also they had, I mean, I guess their primary role is in support. So we wanted to do something that was, and in within Ireland, there's the five dominant cancers account for 80% of cancers in Ireland. So that's breast, lung, skin, bowel, prostate.
Good for you. So we're going to go in and take a look around the garden. So you wanted to bring people on a bit of a journey.
Yeah, so it's within the landscape. Let's call it the cancer landscape in Ireland, is that you'll see within the garden, you see all these kind of dark, moody tones, which are the charred wood, the Corten steel. There's a dark wooden deck in there. So there's a lot of elements within the garden that are very dark and moody. But the garden is ultimately not meant to be maudlin or moody. It's meant to be uplifting and optimistic. That's just meant to represent how far cancer reaches into our society. I mean, the numbers, the statistics are stark and rather frightening, in that when I looked into it, we all have a 50% chance of catching cancer. I would have thought it was kind of 1 in 5, but it's actually 1 in 2. So we wanted to kind of narrate that and show that, you know, these five main cancers, what people, what support services out there, what they can do to kind of help themselves. Even a kind of a positive living can create a positive outcome. So we're trying to get people to kind of change their lifestyles a bit, get out, live healthier lives. But also to kind of show that if you look at the start of the garden, there's a single footprint embedded. And that has to do with, that's a diagnosis. So that's, even in a communal space, like if you're with your family or with anyone, one thing from talking to the cancer groups, and that's how we kind of, that's how we developed this. Like the original design, you know, over a course of a week or two, we kind of created this, the overall look. But it was actually in dealing with focus groups and the cancer patients that we developed all the little ideas within the garden. So there's a lot of small things within the garden with really powerful messages. And they're generally, they were all born out of this kind of, call it a collaboration with cancer survivors. So the initial diagnosis is ultimately a very lonely place, because it's all happening in your head, you know, and they're trying to rationalize it, if you can, like with something as definitive as a cancer diagnosis. So that's why it's just one single footstep. And as you go through the garden, you see the points at which there's two footsteps, which is kind of someone who's engaged with support services. There's mental, there's physical, there's emotional support. And then at the end of the journey, there's actually two sets of footsteps, because one thing that was struck me is, and from talking to all the survivors, is that they always find friends along the journey. Now, unfortunately, they lose friends along the journey too, but those friendships never end.
Okay, so Robert, you're going to take us in and show us some of the garden. What have some of the people been saying to you about seeing the garden?
I guess there's a lot of messages, though. There's a lot of things within the garden that have been personalised through meetings with focus groups. So people don't get it immediately, but when you kind of explain what the purpose of each thing is, they're small little things with massively powerful reach in terms of, like, they're emotive. It's like a cancer journey is not, it's not an easy thing from diagnosis through to like a cancer-free lifestyle, which is what they're all hoping for. It's just it can be a very emotive, it can be a very turbulent, it can be a very, you know, it really is a roller coaster. So it's trying to just do that in a way that ultimately the garden, actually, when you walk through it, you just get a sense of hope and optimism.
So is it really nice after all the planning to see people in it to be happening?
I think it's really important. Like I wanted to have this as an open garden, because with some gardens, they're all beautiful in here, but one of the things is you kind of feel like you're in a, sometimes you feel like you're in a museum looking at a two-dimensional piece. When you can get into a garden, you can actually get it, dig into the story of it. And with this particular story, you can see with all the, you see the walking, what I was saying earlier about the walking sculpture of all the shoes. So these are the different survival groups. I mean, the reality is that not all of these shoes are from survivors. There are one or two that are no longer with us. So it is quite a visceral thing when you look at it in that way. But at the same time, it's still very optimistic. I mean, overall, like even the nets here at the end, these are suspended tree nets. And they're a kind of a moment of, it's a little bit of a refuge. It's a bit of frivolity. It's just about getting away from, you know, maybe the day-to-day stuff, feeling terrible on a day and just relaxing, just, you know, just not getting drawn into the darkness maybe, and then just allowing yourself just to be present.
I've watched James Kavanagh in his tree net. I've been quite jealous of it.
Okay.
It is a beautiful thing to have in a garden, and whether you're on a cancer journey or not, but I'd say especially on a cancer journey, there are moments of contemplation, there are dark thoughts, there are learnings, you know, that there must be times where you need to just sit and process.
I think people on that sort of journey, they really, it should allow us to kind of go, do you know what, the fragility and the beauty of life, we really should live in the moment. Not as if someone was diagnosed with cancer, but with the sort of, with the foresight they have into that. Like the Survive and Thrive group and the Positive Living group, there's a lot of the survivors within that group, they're stage 4 cancer. And they had said to me that to understand and to know what it's like, just every day is a blessing. Like there was a lovely lady, Anya, she painted a watercolor of the garden, which we used in one of the early renderings. And she was saying that she was diagnosed in 2017 and told she'd have 2 years. And she says it's 2026. She says, I've had 9 years. And she said, it's just every day is a gift.
Mm.
And I think if we could kind of just harness just a tiny bit of that.
Well, you've made me do it right now, because I'm very grateful to be standing here in your garden chatting to you at Bloom. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
This message is sponsored by IQBar.
Hey, I'm Will. I started IQBar because I couldn't find a protein bar that wasn't loaded with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. So I decided to make my own. IQBars are ultra-low sugar, packed with protein, fiber, and brain-boosting nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and they got zero weird ingredients. And if you've been meaning to try them, now is a great time, because right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping when you visit iqbar.com and enter promo code BAR20. Whether you're at your desk, on the road, or mid-workout, IQBar has functional, clean, and delicious options for every occasion.
Now you can get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping when you visit iqbar.com and enter promo code BAR20. To get 20% off plus free shipping, go to iqbar.com and enter promo code BAR20. That's iqbar.com, promo code BAR20.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
And Robert and the Marie Keating Garden were awarded gold at the festival, and very well deserved too. Another winner was the Mental Health Commission's Future in Mind Garden, designed by Joe Eustace, and I went to meet him and take in the garden.
I'm Joe Eustace and I'm the designer of the Future in Mind Garden at Bloom 2026.
So that was a hefty project to take on. There was a big responsibility. Did you feel the weight of it?
I suppose absolutely, yeah. Like it's a very poignant subject. I mean, the deinstitutionalisation of mental health. It's I suppose there's a lot of people out there that fell victim to that kind of old flawed system. So you feel that little bit of weight and that, I suppose, responsibility to do right by those people and ensure that they're represented in the space. So I think that we've achieved that, and the public seem to agree, which is that's my job done, which is nice, you know.
And aside from representing that, to be out in nature, to be gardening, to be connecting back with the earth, even your water feature, like these are all ways that we can be mindful in the moment and mind our mental health.
Yeah, I mean, like today with the way that life is, it's so quick, and a garden, it just gives you that arena where you can really just do the thing that you're, I suppose, that's in front of you. You know, whereas when you're driving or if you're always thinking about the next thing that you have to do. Whereas in a garden, your mind is just purely in that space, and it really just allows you to, to calm down and to be mindful, and it affords you that space, which is just putting the pieces together as you find it and trying to do what you can with what you have.
Yeah, I love that. Well, there's real beauty there and all around, Joe. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks very much, Claire. Cheers.
My name is Declan Watson. I'm an executive director at Myeloma Ireland, and I'm part of the inspiration behind putting this garden together to tell the story of the patient journey for myeloma patients.
So what is myeloma, Declan?
Myeloma is basically a cancer of the blood plasma cells that predominantly live in the bone marrow, where the body produces excessive amount of junk paraproteins that interfere with how much white blood cells and red blood cells you can have. So it crowds out the good stuff, and that tends to lead to common illnesses, to frequently getting sick. It attacks the bones, it attacks the kidneys. And the problem with myeloma mainly is it is such a stealth cancer that how it masks itself in other ailments tends to delay diagnosis for patients, and obviously the longer it takes to diagnose, the less options patients have in terms of treatment, which is not a good thing.
Did you say to me you have myeloma yourself?
I do. I started off with a long runway. I was on getting treatment for something else, and my blood protein spiked, and I had the precursor called MGUS, which is monoclonal gammopathy of unknown significance, which sounds incredibly innocuous, right? But 10% of those patients progress to smoldering myeloma, and that sort of, like, now think of it as, yeah, there's smoke, there's no fire yet, but there's smoke. 10% of those patients progress to full-blown myeloma. Now, all along, I thought those odds were pretty darn good, but unfortunately, I progressed reasonably rapidly, but I had time to educate myself and prepare myself for what was going to come. And one of the most helpful things that I researched and the messages I got was, educated myeloma patients live longer. Now think about that. The more you know about the illness, the more informed conversations you can have with your healthcare professionals and figure out what's right for you in terms of treatment. So I'm a huge believer in that. So we've just launched a new website, myeloma.ie, that has a ton of information that really focuses on meeting the patient and their carers where they are, and focuses also on their well-being, because it's not just about understanding the disease, it's how do I take care of myself so I can live my best life and manage through this disease.
And something you really wanted to get across with this garden, this beautiful garden that we're sitting in here now, was that any sort of illness or condition doesn't just impact the person going through it, but there's a network of people, their support system around them, in particular their direct carers.
Very much so. And you know, it's staggering as to how many carers have gone through the garden and have connected with the messaging, because they see the recognition in terms of what they do, and they also see it in the patient that they tend to be caring for. Family members are impacted by this as well, and because they have to give up some of their time in order to support a loved one. And that is difficult, especially when you're trying to support somebody that you love and care about, and you struggle to see them suffer and go through difficult treatment, and you know that there's no cure. The best thing is you can hope for is that you go into remission, and that remission is as long as possible. Unfortunately, myeloma comes back. There is no complete cure for myeloma as of yet, but it is very treatable if caught early, and people can live fairly long, productive lives and, you know, enjoy life and live their life.
Now, so I'm here in the very glamorous surrounds of the Simproof storeroom with the woman of the hour, head of Myers Pharmacy in the first ever wellness village at Bordby Abloon, Una O'Hagan. What a few days it's been.
It's been incredible, honestly, Claire. It's been phenomenal. We didn't know what to expect because this is our first year, obviously. And it's the first year actually for Bordby Abloon to do something like this as well. So we're absolutely honoured to partner with them and to bring this to life. You know, we had an idea of, we didn't want just like a stand or a few stands. We really wanted, if we were going to do this, to really educate anybody who was coming to Bordby Abloom to actually around their health and well-being. As you know, we have this concept called Pharmacy 360 in our business, and even though we're dispensing medicines all of the time, actually we can see whenever people have an integrative approach to their health and a proactive approach, our customers get so much better health outcomes. So Pharmacy 360 really focuses on five pillars of health: their nutrition, their movement, their sleep, their stress management, and the connections that they have, connections to themselves, connections to their family and friends, and connections to the environment. So it was very aligned to really what Bordby Abloom is all about as well. And so that's why we really were keen to partner with them. And for us, it's all about really educating people around those aspects of health. So we've been it's been brilliant just to bring so many experts really over the 5 days here to share their knowledge with people through our educational talks or doing the health screenings as well, so people can have a better understanding what's driving their health, maybe get some health screening done, know their numbers, and then what I always find is people then are educated, they know what is going on in their own body, Claire, why they might be getting the niggles that they're getting, and they are well equipped then to make the right, I suppose, much more informed decisions about their health. And that's what this has been all about.
And something I really loved to hear was that when Bordby Abloom were planning, you know, they often ask attendees, what would you like to see more of? And wellness was one of the biggest things that came back. So there really is an appetite. People want to know, how can I live my best life? And, you know, that means so much more than an Instagram picture. That means feeling well in your body and in yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So they obviously surveyed out their customers, and because this was their anniversary, they wanted to do something different, and wellness came back as the number one thing, you know. So that just goes to show you, people of Ireland have a real appetite for wellness now. And, you know, Bordby has been really focusing hugely on food, obviously, since it's moved from gardens into food here at this festival. But now there's a real link between food and wellness, because we now know our food that we eat is our medicine, you know. And it was a great quote by Steve Jobs saying, let food be your medicine, otherwise someday medicine will become your food. And that is so, so true. Our nutrition is so important, and we've gone through so many different diets, as you know, Claire, there's so many diets out there, but actually our nutrition is about nourishing our body, it's about putting things in. And I know that you're always saying that as well, it's about looking after our gut health. Once we do that, it helps to reduce inflammation in our body, it helps to protect us against chronic diseases. So I think people have a huge appetite for this in Ireland. They want to know what's going on in their body, and they want to know what they can do about it, but not just when they have a chronic illness, Claire. It's actually, how can I prevent getting something, because they might have a family history of heart disease or Alzheimer's or something like that, and they want to make sure that that's not their destiny as well.
I really did enjoy it. The people I met, being surrounded by nature, the trees, the walled garden, the stunning show gardens, and an array of food choices, browsing and people watching. I do hope to return to the Wellness Village next year, and thanks to Mars and to Bordby Abloom for taking such good care of me all weekend.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.